You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
St. Paul said in that great 8th chapter of his letter to the Romans, "We know that for those who love God, everything works together for good, to those who are called according to his purpose." Everything works for good? Everything? It's hard to believe that everything could include heart attacks, earthquakes, human failure, AIDS, along with ruined lives and death itself. Those things work together for good? Is this just some more thinking that begins with every cloud having a silver lining? From time immemorial, people have said, suffering builds character. The old Greeks had a saying, pathein, mathein, to suffer is to learn. Clouds do bring rain, and sometimes nothing but destruction. Suffering has broken down as many people as it has built up. What is the answer to the question people ask? Why? Why do bad things happen to good people? When the question is framed in that way, the usual focus is on people, and then primarily on good people. What about all those good, innocent people who seem not to deserve the bad things that happen to them? Who are all these good people who are so put upon with their suffering that even God gets blamed for it? Why, they're all around. You are surrounded by them. Maybe you are one of them. People like to think of themselves as good. One day a teacher of the law came up to Jesus, asking him a question and addressing him as good master. Jesus replied with thinly veiled sarcasm, "Why do you call me good?" People who live with the idea that salvation is achieved by doing all the right things, at least by doing the things that are mostly right, simply have to be known as good. They may find that they will do almost anything, including slandering others, all for the sake of being known as good themselves. St. Paul dealt with the whole question of human goodness in the 3rd chapter of this letter. He said, "There are none good, not even a single one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, and their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes." What St. Paul was describing was not the worst of the world, but the best of the world. Even at its best, the world hasn't got a chance to save itself. What Paul was saying runs counter to all the thought that is current these days, simply because it has been current for centuries. People insist that there's something wrong with such pessimism as St. Paul expressed about humanity. The trouble is that when optimism begins to build up, something happens to destroy it all, like Stalin or Hitler, along with the discovery of corruption in the best circles, the ones who were laying out morality for other people. St. Paul's focus, as always, was not on people, but on God. It was Martin Luther's focus, too. He came to understand the cross of Jesus Christ, and then to focus on God. As Roland Bainton, the great historian of the Reformation, liked to point out, this man Luther, for all his human qualities, finally was induced by St. Paul in this letter to the Romans to focus his attention on God. He was fixed on God. Focusing on God is not a fixation, as some people would like to have you believe. It's a clearing of the mind, a stimulation of the heart that makes life bud and bloom again. The focus of God himself is on a cross. The focus of humanity has to be in the same direction. Otherwise, we forget what we have got. Universal passing of the buck to wipe out human responsibility, and a similar universal tendency to let the whys dominate life in such a way as to encourage and popularize the idea that there is really no answer at all. Focus on God produces a remarkable discovery. In everything, God works for good to those who love him. This is not Pollyanna at work. It is God doing his thing in the world. St. Paul did not claim that everything which happens is good or productive of good. Nor is he suggesting or arguing here that God is the author of every contingency or event. A speeding car that kills somebody on a crowded street is not a product of God. It is our product, the accelerator jammed. Some human being made that car. Or somebody was exceeding the speed limit. That somebody in this case was breaking not only the law of the land, but the law of God. What Paul is saying is that God works through events in such a way that people may become victorious over them, rather than the events becoming victorious over people. Paul's declaration is less a strain on credulity and more of a challenge to understanding. It asks not for unthinking acquiescence in things as they are, but for faith in God. Even the bad can be transformed into good with faith that God will make it good in the end. Faith in God is characterized by insight and perspective. Children have to learn insight and perspective. So do their elders, no matter how old they may be. There are those times when only the insight and perspective of faith will do, especially when the bad seems to be overwhelming and the good all but obliterated. A mother may tell her 2-year-old child, "You must take this medicine, or you must have this shot." Not understanding, the child resists. It's very hard for the mother to explain the reason for the unpleasant, the painful. Nevertheless, she persists with a good outcome in view. A young man has just got through telling me about a decisive moment in his life. He was going his own way without a thought for God. Once in a while, he went to church with his wife, but only to humor her, as he said. Then came a big shake-up in his company. He was shaken up by what happened, even though he was the only one of the top executives not fired. It was enough to make him think about God. That night, he prayed to God. He asked God to shape his life so that it would be pleasing to God. The next day, he was given new responsibilities in a new position that he did not expect, nor was he attracted to it by his previous training. The new management gave him a week to think it over. That night, the young man said to himself, "I asked God to shape my life, and now this. I asked him, and this is what I got." Coming to himself, pretty much as the prodigal son came to himself after going his own way for so long, our young friend decided that this must be the way to go. He did not leave the company, although he was tempted to do so. He took the new job and began a new chapter, convincing him of something that he was going to learn over and over again. For those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. God bakes his own cake with all kinds of ingredients. Is what people do all the time. There's salt, a teaspoon of which would turn your stomach upside down. Flour, dry as dust. Maybe there's some vanilla extract, a swig of which, right out of the bottle, would make you think a little bit. God takes ingredients in the same way, some of which are not at all tasty in themselves, and makes a delicious cake out of them. It happens all the time. Mistakes, heartaches, heartbreaks, and sometimes sickness and suffering become turning points in the lives of people, turning them around where nothing else could change their minds about anything. Jesus himself said, "With God, nothing is impossible." St. Paul said, "In everything, God works for good to those who love him," so that finally they see his purpose in it all and realize, as Joseph did in the presence of his brothers, it didn't look very good at the time, but God made it turn out for good. God works in everything. He works in the present. He works through the experiences and circumstances of life, just as he most certainly made his presence known in human history through the coming of his eternal and unique Son. In all the humanity of his Son, God redeems the lives of those who love him. In the coming of Jesus Christ, in the death of that Son on his cross, and in his resurrection from the dead by the glory of his Father, God makes this abundantly clear. In everything, he works together for good to those who love him. Certain events may not be at all expressive of the will of God, yet you can be sure of one thing. God is present. He is present now just as much as he was present in his Son when the world was created and when the world was redeemed. His Son, Jesus, has been declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. People come to know God by knowing Jesus Christ. People see God when they look at Jesus Christ. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. It pleased God that in him the whole fullness should take up its residence, and by him to redeem everything to himself through the blood of Christ's cross, everything. Whether you're talking about things on earth or things in heaven, everything. That's St. Paul talking. It is God talking. It is Jesus Christ talking to the whole world through his cross and from a tomb where the stone has been rolled away. It is God's good word of forgiveness and life received by faith that knows. We know, said St. Paul, that for those who love God, everything works together for good to those who are called according to his settled purpose. God works through everything. God's purpose becomes known to everyone who loves God and the day of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can know it too. The working of God for your good may not always be for your pleasure. The good is not always enjoyable. Misery is not particularly pleasant. Discipline of the mind is good, but preparation for an examination is not necessarily the high point of the school year. St. Paul was not a preacher of fair-weather Christianity. He had the good sense to say to people, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory to be revealed in us. Sufferings are still sufferings. The purpose of God becomes clear even in the suffering. In everything, God works together for good to those who love him. Far more than we realize, our picture of the world depends upon the equipment with which we see the world. A colorblind friend is unable to discern reds and greens. His perception of other colors is rather uncertain. His wife has to lay out his wardrobe each day, or he shows up at the office looking a little bit like a clown. The man accepts the fact that he doesn't know everything, and he doesn't see everything. Nevertheless, he's mighty grateful for that wife of his. He sees, at least, that there's a difference between the colors. I have a great respect for the imagination of God, who puts such magnificent colors into his creation. There are times when I've been moved almost to awe by the colors of a sunset or of a tropical bird. I'm glad that he gave me eyes to see it all and to experience it for a comparatively long time. With faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, the colorful Son of the living God, God himself gives people eyes to see something in human events, including the things that happen to them personally. With insight and perspective that make those events take on soft hues and bright colors that you would never see without faith in him. When life seems to play dirty tricks on you, do not lose heart. Put off the bitterness and put on the garment of faith God provides. That's why he sent his Son, so that you can come to know God and to put confidence in him. In Christ you know that he is a forgiving God. In Christ you know God gives life, even eternal life. Finally, there's one more thing you come to know. In all things, in everything, God works for good to those who love him, to those who by his grace are called according to his gracious purpose. All things do work together for good to those who love God. whatever happens, the love of God in Christ will never let go of you. He may let you go for a time on your own, but his love will not let go of you. When doubt and despair threaten, take your stand at the cross of Christ, the one who died, and at one moment cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? He died there. Seemingly abandoned by his Father, Jesus Christ demonstrated once more in that death of his that all things work together for good to those who love God. In the death of Christ, there is redemption for the whole world, including you and me. There is atonement for what we have done wrong and for what we have failed to do right. There is forgiveness so that you and I can be forgiving people, having the courage of faith, enough to say no matter what may come, we know that in everything God works for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his gracious and blessed purpose. It is God's purpose that none should be lost and that all may find in his Son Jesus the salvation he gives so graciously and also so comprehensively. In everything, we must be sure God works for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to that mighty and magnificent purpose of his, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.